warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, near the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here in my studio, with my friend, co-host, David Niles. And this is going to be a fun episode. Dave, we just got done interviewing Darren DeLosier, the intrepid Darren DeLosier.
The one and only.
The one and only, from the producer of Catholic Answers Live. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun for our friends of the show.
Yeah, he keeps
everybody in line.
He keeps the boat floating.
Yeah, and when Patrick Coffin was there, he was like keeping him in line. Yeah, so it was a really great interview. It was a lot of fun to talk to him. I had a chance to meet him at the EWTN radio conference 2 years ago, and ran into him this last year as well. And it was just a lot of fun. We had a good time.
Yeah.
But we are recording this episode later than normal. So bear with us, ladies and gentlemen. it is a little later than normal. But it's gonna be a good episode.
Yeah.
You're nervous.
I'm nervous
about this episode. This is your topic.
I admitted this to you. So yeah. So
what,
if you don't
tell them the topic.
If you don't know, Adam and I had a while back decided that we should take turns coming up with
the topic.
So, you know, we switch off, and whoever's turn it is, they do most of the research, and the other person kind of plays like the antagonist, the mm-hmm. questioner, mm-hmm. almost like intentionally ignorant on the topic so that we can ask good questions, having not just spent the week studying the whole topic.
So this is yours.
This
so
one's
good
mine.
Luck.
And yet, yeah. So anyway,
if this is
here
your
goes
first,
nothing.
Yeah. If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, welcome. You've been warned about the manliness of this show.
Yeah.
We did have somebody squeak through the warning and decided to listen anyway, was not very manly, and kind of was a little harmed.
She was definitely wounded.
She was definitely wounded. So
we say she. It seems like they were a she.
Well, anyway.
We don't know for sure. But they gave us a 1-star review, and I personally, still one of my favorite reviews.
But if this is your first time to listen to the Catholic Man Show, we welcome you. We do 3 things every show. We open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about a man, highlight a man gear, and then have a very manly discussion.
Our man beverage today, maybe, I'm not sure, but I think it's the most awarded man beverage we've had on the show.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Before we get into our man beverage, though, I have to just give a shout-out to a few of our listeners.
Okay.
There have been a few guys who have reviewed our podcast recently and given us stellar reviews.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just been phenomenal. We've had a lot of guys give us a direct message on Instagram,
mm-hmm.
telling us how much they appreciated it. Our Friends of the Show is just growing like crazy right now, and we have such a strong group of men. Of strong Catholic men in that group, and it's just a lot of fun to be associated with them.
The Friends of the Show group has turned into a lot more than what I anticipated. I was telling mm-hmm. my wife this morning that just how much I enjoy mm-hmm. that group, just because of the, you know, basically, almost none of the people our Friends of the Show knew each other.
Right.
But it's just turned into this collaboration
of manliness
and you know. Catholic, you know, authentic.
It's good Catholic guys.
Just good stuff.
That are trying to become, you know, that are striving to become holy, mm-hmm. striving to become the men that God created them to be, and sharing their journey with all the other men. They're doing the exact same thing.
It's really almost a resource.
It really
like
has become.
There's all these Catholic guys who mm-hmm. are, you know, like very intentional about their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone asked recently, oh, hey, what podcast do you guys listen to? Mm-hmm. And boom, all this immediate, like, oh, here's all the ones I listen to. And it was a wide variety of things, a lot of podcasts I'd never heard of. Mm-hmm. So I just really like it.
Quite a few new friends of the show recently.
Yeah.
And so I just had to thank our listeners, because there's been a couple times, even recently, that I've kind of been like, are we striving to do what our goal is of the Catholic Man Show,
right,
which is to promote virtue and to provide this authentic masculinity that's been lost. And it's just so awesome to see these guys come
promote.
Out.
I don't think we provide it, but I hope we promote it.
Yeah.
The authentic. Yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
But just to see the fruitfulness of what we're doing and, to see all the other guys doing it as well.
Yeah.
It's just really cool. So I had to give them a shout out, because...
Let's high five.
High five to that. That was a weak high five. Let's do it again.
Better. Oh my gosh. One more time. There we go.
Okay, third one was
time.
Good. Okay, so let's get into the...
Good things come in threes. All right.
Let's get into the main beverage.
Okay, so we had Ardbeg.
Yes, a couple episodes ago. Scotch.
It's a scotch. In that bottle, I got like this small promotional bottle of one I had never heard of.
Ardbeg.
Of an Ardbeg. With some Gaelic word, once again, that's totally spelled wrong.
Right.
But apparently it's pronounced Ugadal.
Or Ugadal.
Ugadal. I think it's Ugadal. But anyway, apparently, in 2009, this was the number one whiskey in the world, according to the Whiskey Bible. So...
Which they have a good rep.
That's something. So I just want to... Let's go ahead and try it.
Okay. So we're on the Lord's team.
I've been wanting to.
Yeah, me too. The winning side.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus and our mother. May we... may we drink in moderation and share in excess.
Yes.
That's what I was trying to remember. Excellent. I said that a couple episodes ago, and I was like, that needs to be my trademark. I'm doing that. So
may we say it again.
May we drink in
moderation.
Drink in moderation and share in excess.
Excellent.
Anyway, tell them about the color and the nose.
Okay, so it's definitely a golden color.
Yes. Much darker than the Lafroig we had last week.
Right, and the Ardbeg, remember, it was like the one we tried on the show was clear. I mean, it was super, super light.
Mm-hmm.
So the aroma, I just have to read this too. This is on their website. Every now and then you come across tasting notes that are just
hilarious.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So the aroma is rich and weighty with heavy and smoky aromatics, which definitely agree with. It's definitely a smoky smell. At full strength, the initial aroma is a beguiling mix of warm Christmas cake, walnut oil, and Parma violets fused with fresh ocean spice, cedar, and pine needles falling from a Christmas tree. I can really feel... I can smell the descent of the pine needles, I think. I can smell them falling to the ground.
I think a snowy bank.
Absolutely.
It was on a snowy bank.
I thought that went without saying, but I'm glad you mentioned that. So then a smoldering coal fire. A smoldering coal fire. Where'd it go? And the scent of a well-oiled leather brings warmth. The sweetness of... treacle toffees, I think it's treacle, and chocolate-coated raisins emerge through the smoke. And when I read that the first time, I just pictured, like, this smoke, and then, like, here come these chocolate-covered raisins, like, you know, almost like riding through the smoke.
So, to me, on the nose,
yeah,
I get a lot of that, the same nose as, like, the Krupnik that your dad makes.
Hmm.
I think it's that crisp...
Very spicy.
Very spicy. A lot of that cinnamon.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
I don't know, whatever that Krupnik, it has a little of that honey smell as well.
Uh-huh. A lot of cloves.
A lot of cloves. That's what I get on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
But on the palate, I actually get more of that oily leather smoky taste.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
It is very. It's extremely. It's very smooth.
And
do you know how much it? You know what a bottle
I have
runs?
No idea, because it was just. I don't know. Maybe you could Google it real fast, but
okay.
I'll tell you. I'll just read this to you. This is on the taste is full flavored and rich with a deep mouth coating texture, which is true. Like, man, I this isn't just a back of the mouth. You know, like this is. It really is an experience all the way across your palate, across your tongue. The taste is an intriguing balance between sweet, spicy, and deep smoky flavors. The flavor is initially sweet, a burst of winter spices, which that's the correlation I think you're making between the Krupnik. So the winter spices set off a smoky, spicy explosion countered by a sumptuous mid-palate of honey-glazed smoke food and chewy treacle. And there's that word again. Waves of deep, smoky tones and rich aromas build up on the palate like a fine Monte Cristo cigar.
It previously says that it was at $73 a bottle, but it's been down to about $55 to $60.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is really good, though. There is a sweetness at the very end. For me, I catch a little sweetness at the very end of it.
So on the finish, it says, amazingly long and chewy with lingering, raisiny, deep mocha tones.
The mocha.
And rich aromatic smoke into the perfectly integrated finish.
It is a good. It is a long finish, which we both enjoy.
Yeah.
I do get the sweetness to it. But I do enjoy this one. This is a good scotch. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy it. For 2009, was it 2009 that it said?
It's 2009, best whiskey in the world, according to Jim Murray's Whiskey Bible.
Yeah. It's definitely up there.
So I don't think we've ever had a number one.
At least for
the
Whiskey Bible
is a big deal. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who say, oh, This is my number one whiskey for this year, but the Whiskey Bible is legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be a fun one to sip on throughout the show.
Yeah.
So when we get back, we're going to talk about the man gear. I'm really excited about the man gear because it's something that I really enjoy doing.
Yeah.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your
glass. And welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. We are drinking a fine Ardbeg scotch. Mm-hmm. Ugadal.
Somebody's going to listen and they'll correct us.
It's like Gaelic is a beautiful language. Someone needs to respell it. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't make... Anyway, I've complained about this in the past.
Right.
They're just terrible spellers, okay? Mm-hmm. Me too. I think the problem with Gaelic is that they were raised in a time before spell check. And that, so, like, they all just got crazy with stuff, and it got out of hand.
Yeah.
It's clearly out of hand. Someone needs to rein it in, okay? Yeah.
So, Dave, real quick, because there's a few new listeners to the show. I know that we actually got a couple Facebook messages recently, like this week, saying, hey, I'm going to be listening to your new podcast for the first time this next week.
Oh, okay.
So, for these people... Tell them why we, like, the three things that we do, why we do them.
Okay, so we drink on air, obviously. You know that by now.
Yeah.
And it's, I love telling people that.
And getting their reaction.
Right. It's like, so the first thing we do is we open, like, we drink on air. And people's eyes get wide. And
right.
They're not really sure what to think about it. It's like, you're drinking on the radio? It's like, yes.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. And we're not even ashamed of it.
Right.
And so why do we do that? We do it because God made the things of this earth good, mm-hmm. and they should be enjoyed for their goodness in their proper place, which is why we exercise the virtue of moderation on the show. And, you know, it's also, drinking is a good way to build up the virtue of moderation. You know, if you're just sitting there saying, oh, you should have moderation in things. Okay, great. What the heck does that mean? But if you're actually sitting there doing moderation, mm-hmm. it promotes it in a different, more authentic way. So then we have the man gear. The man gear, we try to highlight stuff that, you know, it's a man. You know, sometimes we get more unique, special items. Like last time we had that cookbook.
Right.
It was the cooking with beer in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
You know, just kind of neat stuff. But, you know, we also try to have that just authentic man's, you know, like a LED flashlight.
Right.
Or a pocket knife. What do those things say about manhood? And, you know, we try to get those things like, these are manly things. Why are they manly things? what about them is manly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there must be some element, some virtue of manhood that they exemplify. And so then the topic is just whatever
we decide it to be.
Yeah.
But it's a manly topic.
Manly. Oh, it's manly.
Highlighting some type of virtue or something that a Catholic man should carry.
Yeah.
And
at least that's what we try to do.
That's our attempt.
Sometimes, yeah. That's what we try. So anyway.
So let's get into this awesome man gear.
The man gear today.
I can't believe we haven't done yet.
I feel that way all the time. Like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, surely we've done that. No, we haven't. Okay, so the man gear today is a smoker.
Mm.
You know, like a grill, except a smoker.
A smoker. For meat.
A smoker. A meat smoker.
For a big rack of ribs.
And there's these days, all kinds of smokers out there.
Mm-hmm.
The electric ones, they are so nice. But there's something off. There's just something that feels right about getting a wood box, you know, a firebox smoker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're like burning whatever kind of wood over
so
there.
So I think that it'd be interesting to hear our listeners' thoughts on the smoker and the different types, because obviously, you know, you have the green egg, you have the all these electric.
Heard
smokers.
A lot of good things about the green egg. I don't know much about it. I just heard.
Well, I think green egg is. It's a grill, but there's also one that they make it a smoker. Anyway.
Okay.
But, you know, there's the electric, there's the pellets, there's the mm-hmm. Chips, there's the actual wood. It'd be interesting to hear you, the listener, what you do, and give us maybe,
yeah.
You know, let us know your tips or what you use and why you use it.
I've never had the luxury of using anything other than a traditional smoker with a firebox on the side, you know, where
right.
You
me
just
either.
Go get
That's
the
what
wood
I have.
And you maybe accent with some you know, other chips and
right.
stuff.
So, like, I think that even if somebody offered, you know, the electric grills, my dad has one with, it's a chip, it's for chips, and it burns the chips really slowly.
Right.
But, I think even if they're expensive and they're super nice, right?
Because yeah.
you just program, this is the temperature that I want.
Sound awesome.
And you just kind of walk away, you
right,
know?
Yeah.
And you just feed it chips or pellets or whatever it is every once in a while to make
uh-huh.
sure it keeps going. But I think even if somebody offered it to me, I wouldn't want it.
Oh, let me just tell you something. I would definitely take it.
I mean,
now I think it's more fun to do it.
Right.
Like back when we lived together,
mm-hmm.
There was that one time I smoked something for like 24 hours, you know, butt shoulder for like mm-hmm. 24 hours. And I got up every 3 hours throughout the night
mm-hmm.
to go reload the firebox.
Right.
There was just something about doing that that
right.
felt right.
And I think I've,
you know
I've,
what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And
yeah.
I think I may have even shared this before in a previous episode, but you know, I love getting up early in the morning to start smoking. You know, there's something about being able to get up in the morning, getting that fire going, getting the meat on the grill,
mm-hmm.
On the smoker, and just sitting up and listening to creation happening, you know, maybe with your Bible, maybe
yeah.
with your pipe in your hand, and just watching creation, watching the day begin, and smelling the smoke of the smoker. I don't know. There's just something about that that is just... captivating.
Well, I think there's something different about smoking than grilling, because when you smoke, it's hours and hours.
Oh yeah.
And it's almost like you typically do it for a reason. You know, there's a party or
right. you have people
there's
coming
a celebration.
Over. Right.
And it's almost like from the moment you start,
mm-hmm.
you are already celebrating what you're there to celebrate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, yeah.
So it's like you get up and it's like, oh, I'm already doing it. And the like the glory of the party, you
mm-hmm.
know, like a feast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like you're participating in that all day.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know? And it's like, what are you doing today? I'm smoking meat.
Right.
It's like, listen.
Clear my schedule.
Right, exactly. Well, isn't it, you know, like pretty much hands off for hours at a time? Yes, but I need to watch it.
Yeah, I
got to
watch
look,
it.
Need to look at it, all right?
Got to make sure the temperature is exact.
Because you do. You
yeah, you
to,
do have to.
Like, you
I
need
remember,
to stay pretty precise.
I remember one of my smoking stories is, like, I got up early. You know, I had the meat already prepped the night before. Got the meat on the grill. Got the temperature exactly right. You know, everything looked great. And I was like, okay, daily mass is about to start. I'll just run to daily mass. It's only 30 minutes. I'll run over there, you know, I'll go to daily mass and I'll come
uh-huh.
back and continue smoking. I leave and I go to daily mass. Halfway through daily mass, rain starts pouring. Like just a sheet of rain comes down.
Oh no.
And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, through mass, which is not good, but
right.
I'm sitting here thinking like, oh no, the temperature.
But how are you not supposed to worry about it?
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I have to wait through mass and then run home real quick and MacGyver a way of umbrellaing, like putting umbrellas up to cover the smoker. Anyway, I just was so worried about making sure that the temperature was going to stay.
Yeah, well, because, you know, it's a lot of setup involved.
Yeah, there
is. With smoke. You know, you got to typically you go get a big piece of meat, you know, and you get, if you're doing it this way, you know, get the right woods that you want to, you know, accent and maybe some chips.
You know what I really like about it? Because it really is, like you just mentioned, Dave, you mentioned, like, it's really about love. Mm-hmm. It's really what it is. Because you love doing it, but you're doing it for other people, right? You're doing it. You love the process.
Yeah.
But you're buying this huge piece of meat. Mm-hmm. You're you know, throughout the whole day, you're laboring over it to share it with others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what the whole end is, sharing it with others.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, you're already thinking about how it's going to be good for everybody. Yeah. And at least you hope.
Right. Yeah.
Although smoking is kind of idiot proof, as long as you don't burn, you know, like let your temperatures get too high, and even if you don't have like the most sophisticated rub in the world, it's still going to come out tender and juicy and good.
Yeah. One of the main keys that I didn't know, you know, when I first started, that makes a big difference is letting the meat rest.
The rest, which.
Okay. Man,
it's prophetic.
Did you like that?
Yeah,
it's prophetic
with
our
topic for today. Yeah,
but you do have to let the meat rest. Meaning, you take the meat off the grill, you wrap it up in foil, you wrap it up in, you know, towels, and then you put it in like an ice box or something like that, or ice chest. I'm sorry, ice chest.
Yeah,
you don't want to put it in the sit.
Not in the freezer.
No, and you just let it sit for like 2 hours, and it
sets up. Yeah.
Yeah. It,
like something with the juices.
Right. The meat. The meat comes back together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I forget the
words.
Well,
I mean, the process in smoking. So, like, imagine you're grilling.
You're breaking everything down, and it has to come back together.
So meat is protein, right? And all these protein molecules, when you put it on the grill, those protein molecules start to bond together. Okay. So that's the difference. When a well-done steak is tough. Mm-hmm. It's, like, hard. Or the rare is squishy. Because all these protein molecules bond together. The protein molecules. Yeah. So then when you smoke it, basically they bond, but it's because it's low and slow, the temperature. Then they dissolve.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the meat just all is just falling apart because all of these protein bonds have dissolved.
Right. But you, like for ribs, you still want the meat to kind of stay on the rib. But you want it to be super tender.
Right. But you want, ideally, I mean, it's this perfect world, to be able to just, like, slide that rib bone right on out.
Right. Yeah, but you want it to, like, if you pick up the rib bone, you still want the meat to be on there. You want it to be able to, like, if you don't let it rest, you can pick up that rib bone and the meat just falls off without even touching it.
Yeah, you don't want it to be, like, rib soup.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But so I love the smoker.
You want the consistency of eating meat.
Yeah. And I love smoking meat because I just love the process. I love doing it, and then I love sharing it.
And it's a nice activity.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. In fact, most of the time, whenever I'm doing it, I call you and I'm like, "Hey, I'm smoking today. You want to come over?"
Right.
You know, and you
like, "Yes. Do you need help?"
Right. Yeah, because I need a lot of help. Yeah, you gotta have a lot of help. And we just sit out there and we, you know, either read the Bible or we talk about stuff and we maybe have a beer. And
have you seen the meat Stephen Houle has been posting?
Yes, he did
what the heck is
phenomenal
that?
Steak oh my gosh. Recently.
Yeah.
Cheers to you, St. Stephen.
Yeah.
When we get back, I have already teed up our topic. You may have caught it, you may not have. But if you haven't, get ready.
Yeah.
We're on the listing.
Sit back and relax.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I hope you enjoyed that break. If you're listening via podcast, I hope you enjoyed that 15 seconds.
If that.
We are sitting here sipping on Ardbeg Ugadal. Ugadal? Is that right?
Dude, I have no idea.
Ugadal. The Ultimate is what it's called.
The Ultimate.
I like that.
It is super good.
It is really good.
Because it's got the smokiness of the other Ardbeg.
Mm-hmm.
That we had, which is
so
why
if you're not
liked it.
If you're not a peaty guy, if you don't like peaty whiskey, this one, peaty scotch, this one would be a good one to try.
I agree, because it's not super peaty, but it's like a nice smoky.
Which is awesome well that it bleeds in.
There's so many congruity.
Synergy here.
Yeah, because it's a circle.
So we did just get done talking about the smoker and smoking meat.
Right.
We would love for you to post, you know, your smoker or give us some tips. You know, I think that, you know, the Man Show is all about helping each other. So help Dave and I out by posting your tips of the tricks of the trade, what you do, how you set up, your prep work.
Adam and I love to do it, but we are not masters.
No, we're not masters
at the grill.
Smokers.
Like, I mean, I can cook a steak. I mean, I can do it medium rare, you know, if that's what you want. But there's so many
if you go past medium with a steak, like.
I start judging you.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm sorry.
Just get...
I don't want to do it, okay? It happens.
Just get chicken fried steak if that's what you're going to do. anyway, so let's get in... Let's jump into the topic. This is the third part of the show.
We just offended somebody, but it's just like...
Yeah. We gave them the warning.
Sometimes it needs to happen,
We gave them the warning. So we just got finished with, you know, talking about our drink and talking about the man topic or man gear. Now we'll go into the man topic.
So the topic for today is leisure.
Okay. And somebody's thinking, why leisure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because this is just one of those things that people in our culture, you know, this is like first world problems. We do not understand. We don't understand what leisure is. We don't understand what its value is. Or how it fits into our spiritual lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just something that I felt like we have got to cover. And so we were kind of laughing, you know, talking about letting the steak rest. You know, like, because that's at the heart of what leisure is. Leisure is not just resting.
Right.
But it's also not vegging out. Sitting there watching TV... You know,
mindlessly.
It's like you don't necessarily care about what you're watching. You're just watching. You know, it's like that's not leisure.
That's why I got rid of cable. Dude,
I'm getting close. My Pamela would be totally for it. It's just like, God, why do you have to give up on all of the sports? You know, and I think there's this thing, Sling TV. My brother-in-law was telling me about it. Apparently, you can still get a lot of the sports, and it's like $12 a month or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm gonna look into it. But anyway.
Okay. We digress,
which we do on the Catholic Man Show.
Because it's a circle.
So we live in a culture that is obsessed with working. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We are just—it's a work culture. So I think when we think of leisure, we think of it as not working. Mm-hmm. That's what leisure is.
Right.
What's the definition of leisure? Well, it's when you're not working. You know, but. It should be the other way around. And in fact,
So leisure shouldn't be the negative.
Right. Leisure is the positive. That's a good way to put it. In ancient cultures and other languages, they define work as not leisure.
Okay.
Okay. So it's a distinction, but it's kind of small, but it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because leisure should be the primacy of the two. We do not rest. So it's like, oh, man, I've been working. I'm so tired. I need a rest so that I can go back to work some more. It's like, no. We work so that we can afford to rest and to leisure. Mm-hmm. And that one of the important aspects of leisure is that it is a good in and of itself. It doesn't accomplish anything. It is
the end.
It is its own end. Yes.
Okay.
And as I was like doing more research into this topic, I realized I didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I got this like nugget of a good idea, and I was like, yeah, this is a good idea, and it just started exploding into this like massive topic. It was just like blowing my mind all the time, you know.
Right.
So I've been very nervous about this week's episode. Like, I really hope I can do it justice, but so anyway, I'm excited to talk about it. Also, at the same time, an interesting thing about leisure is that it comes from the Greek and Latin roots of, like, in Latin, the root is scola, which is where we get the word school.
Okay.
So the reason that's important is because leisure is a very receptive thing. So some of the like ancient Catholic cultures, they had two different types of knowledge. There was the type of knowledge that you would go out and pursue and like work hard to achieve, like in the sciences. There's a quote attributed to Francis Bacon. There's some debate on whether he said it or not, but apparently he was the type of guy who may have said something about this, about in order to learn something, you take nature and you throw it on the torture rack and you extract everything you can from it. Mm. And that's how you learn something. And I have gone out and actively achieved this knowledge.
We don't advocate torture on the Catholic Man Show.
No, we don't. But
I just wanted to clarify.
Yes, it's an analogy. Yeah. Whereas, and so the other type of learning, the other type of knowledge would be one of passive receptivity.
Okay.
Where you sit there and you receive from nature.
So like contemplative.
It's very contemplative. And so in those cultures, they valued that contemplative knowledge much, much more. And
well, it would make sense.
And to me, it was kind of the difference between knowledge and wisdom.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. like, yes, the scientist knows a lot, but the philosopher who takes a daily walk through the woods mm-hmm. understands more.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's an important part about, so, you know, the schola. Leisure is school. There's this element, this link between leisure and knowledge. Like the more you have time to like that's almost what leisure is for. It's to come to a deeper understanding of your reality.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. I think that's accurate because like right now we think leisure as like you had said, like, ooh, I'm going to sit and play video games until my eyes bleed.
Which, you know, there was a time in my life where I thought that sounded awesome.
Right, yeah.
You know, but...
You know, but that's not leisure.
It's not. And I want to get to the difference between sloth and
okay.
leisure.
Okay.
Just because a lot of people think, oh, you know, if I were to describe this person as a man of leisure, that would almost be an insult. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that means he's basically lazy and doesn't do anything.
Right, yeah. He's 30 years old, sitting in his parents' basement, you know, eating potato chips.
Right, yeah, unemployed.
Right.
But if you take...
Why potato chips?
I don't know. I like potato chips.
Anyway, go ahead.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
So, but, you know, if you took an authentic understanding of the word leisure, that would be a very good thing. It would be to say that in the Catholic sense means that man is a well-balanced. He has a simple life. He lives a life of simplicity, like we talked about, where mm-hmm. you know, the things he has are appropriate for what they are. He
right.
doesn't work more than he needs. He works in order to maintain the contemplative life. You know, so there's a balance here. And one of the difficulties with leisure is you can't really say exactly what it is for someone. You can't say, oh, this is what you should do to be leisurely. It's more about the attitude. Basically, all of this information comes from a book by a guy named Joseph Pieper, who wrote his book was Leisure, the Basis of Culture.
Okay.
So he was making the argument that without leisure, you will have no culture in your society.
When you told me that we were going to do this topic, I actually text messaged Father Brian O'Brien, and I was like, Father, you know, you always recommend good books on our topics, and unfortunately, you recommend them after our topic's already... finished.
Right.
You know? So I need to start asking you about...
Super helpful 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. So I need to start asking you beforehand. And so I did. And he was like, that's the end-all be-all book.
Right.
For leisure.
Yeah. And it is... There are very few other references because this book covers it so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody else felt like there was anything else to say.
It's pretty impressive to write a book that exhausts a topic to where no one else really feels like, I agree. That's pretty impressive.
But I think also our culture has moved away so that people, like, it's difficult to come to a true understanding of the topic in our culture today. So this is what Joseph Pieper says about leisure.
Okay.
There are three things I want to get to before the break, and we'll expand on them.
Okay.
Leisure, these are the things, the three ways to define it. And you need all of these things to be true leisure. The first one is an inner absence of preoccupation, the ability to let things go in order to be quiet. Okay, so this kind of assumes that a man is at peace with himself. If you are not at peace with yourself, you cannot have leisure.
Okay.
The second one is that it requires a celebratory spirit.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. You're not, you know, you're celebrating the goodness of life, essentially. And the third is that leisure is useless.
Which is interesting.
It's useless. Yeah, and it's like when he said that, I was like, what? That's not right. But he doesn't mean that it's not good. He means that it doesn't do anything. Leisure does not accomplish a goal. It is the goal in and of itself. You know, you're not doing leisure in order to get your homework done or, you know, to like, oh, hurry, do you you know, I've got so many things. So anyway, let's talk about it. We'll hear this up on the other side of the break.
Okay.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Have a leisurely commercial break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
I'm David Niles.
I'm Adam Minahan.
Lounging.
Leisurely.
Leisurely in my chair with this microphone. Just hanging out. Just receiving. I don't know if I said that, but that's really, leisure is all about receiving. If I didn't mention that.
You did.
So right before the break, we were talking about leisure as being useless.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when I heard that at first, I was like,
that's not right.
Not right.
Yeah, that's
like, this is, maybe this is going to be a bad topic. I don't know.
But, abort, abort.
Right, exactly. Like, let's do something else. I don't know. Let's talk about sports.
Yeah.
But then, as it was further explained, I was like, oh, okay, I see what you mean. I'm talking about, it's almost like a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as in view of the culture. The culture is like, you're not doing anything. What are you doing? That's the point.
Right.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here in a receptive, you know, it's like us as the bride of Christ, being bride is receiving. And that's something that's more difficult for us as men to really wrap our heads around. And I think that's one of the reasons why women are just seem to be naturally more religious.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they know what it means to receive.
Right.
It's in their nature.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's more difficult for us men, but you know, we as bride of Christ still must have this receptive nature, you know, and if we think we can go out there and, you know, I'm going to earn salvation. It's like, you are not. You're going to
be a heretic. Yeah, is what you're going to be.
You're going to end up really warm.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be hot.
Well done.
Yeah. You'll be well done. Anyway,
I think a good example is, or possibly, I don't know, maybe critique me, poke holes in my analogy.
Okay.
When you love something, when you love somebody, mm-hmm. like your wife.
Yeah, I do love my wife, yeah.
Exactly. There's times when, you know, she says, well, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're like, I don't care. I don't care what we're doing. I just want to be with you.
Right. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I just want to be with you.
Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, I'm already doing it.
Right. It doesn't matter if we're watching a movie. It doesn't matter if we're, you know, reading together. It doesn't matter if we're cooking together, it doesn't matter what we're doing.
Right.
I just want to spend time with you. It's wasting time because it's just being with you.
Right.
The same analogy maybe with, you know, in adoration. You know, you're just wasting time with Christ. And not that it's a waste of time. Not that it's, you know, you're blowing your life away. It's that you love Christ so much, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You're spending time
right.
with who you love.
Right. And so it's important to not be doing something.
Right.
Because then you cannot be receiving. You can't be in this, like the first thing that was...
Wait, so did you poke holes in that? Was that?
No, I liked it. No, it was good.
Okay. Because a lot of times I give analogies you don't like them.
No, sometimes I don't like your analogies. But,
right.
Well, I like them, but I modify them. I like to modify... Well, it's like, let's change this part. But anyway, so the first thing was an inner absence of preoccupation, the ability to let things go in order to be quiet. Okay, so...
Something we all struggle with.
Right, and so that's why it needs to be useless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Leisure is only possible when we're in harmony with ourselves. I said that. And as I was kind of thinking about that, just my own thought, just for the record, you know, because it could be wrong.
Ready, guys. This is a glimpse into the mind of David Niles.
Like, what does that mean for a Catholic man? You know, and to me, it means that virtuous leisure is impossible if you are not in a state of grace. If you're in a state of sin, then you cannot be in harmony with yourself. And so it would be impossible to achieve virtuous leisure. And leisure is a virtue, just like work is a virtue. But what the devil tries to do with virtue is he tries to take them and put them in places they do not belong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
He perverts them.
The virtues. Right. He cannot create anything. He can only take things that exist that are good and twist them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so to overwork is actually a vice.
Mm-hmm.
To think that, oh, you can leisure all the time is also not true.
Right.
Okay? Because you need to pay your bills. But once again, we work so that we can leisure. So that we have time to waste on the beauty of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
G.K. Chesterton said that there is only one sin, and that is to call a green leaf gray. To take God, basically what he's saying is to take the beauty of God's creation, you know, this green leaf, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and say it's just gray. It's mm-hmm. boring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bored by it. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough...
Yeah, when you told me this, I was blown away.
The word boredom did not exist until the 19th century. It was in the 1800s that the word boredom...
That's just, like...
broke the scene in the world.
Like, that's just hard for me to, like, grasp.
Right. And the reason for that is because it wasn't until our culture developed this work culture, you know, where constant activity, if you're not producing something, you're worthless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we began to value people, value activities based on their product, what they produce,
mm-hmm.
that man ceased to have the ability to do nothing. And I think the reason is because when we stop and do nothing, reality sets in. You know, that's when we have it. We finally look at ourselves, and look at our life, and say, you know, is what I'm doing good?
It's an examination of conscience, is what it is.
Exactly, exactly. And so, you know, we've talked about the phrase in Latin, "ego a me." You know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Without leisure, you cannot know yourself. Without time to just be. And it doesn't have to be leisure by yourself, but without it, you do not know the world in which you live.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just so crucial. And I'm telling you, like, this was blowing my mind, like, the last couple weeks as I've been studying this. And just like, oh, I thought I knew something. It's like, I didn't know anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a topic that I'm going to have to keep studying more and more and more. But here's the pinnacle of, I think, the topic.
Well, so before you get to that, like, I think that it's important to think about, so if leisure is contemplative,
mm-hmm.
like, prayer is leisure.
That's right. That's what I was about to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you're going to get to the pinnacle of prayer.
Well, I was going to broach the pinnacle.
Oh, okay.
But you broached it. You broached it.
I broached it a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, we're not made for work.
Right.
In fact, when we get to heaven, there's no work in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so God...
state of perpetual retirement.
Right. And the beatific vision is a rest. The beatific vision is not eternal television.
Right.
Okay? And television can be leisure. It depends on what you're watching and why you're watching it. You know, are you watching it in a state of receptivity? Like, are you watching a movie because you want to find joy in them? You know, like... it's a beautiful work of art? Or are you watching because you're like, I have nothing else to do. I'm just going to watch this movie. Like, I don't care, but I'm just going to watch it. You know, so whatever. But so prayer is leisure perfected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so the Mass is really the ultimate example of leisure. The Mass
sounds weird.
Yeah, exactly. It does. It sounds weird, but it fits the qualifications. It's an... an inner absence of preoccupation, the ability to let things go. So in the Mass, you know, we hear things like, behold the Lamb. We're not there to try and conquer the Mass with our mind. You know, we are, I am going to make the Mass. You know, that's not the way it works. Okay? It's also requires a celebratory spirit. At the very heart of the Mass is a celebration. The Mass is a sacrifice and a celebration, but the Eucharist, you know, Thanksgiving, the ultimate heart of the Mass is a celebration of to God of the work He has done for us. It is a thanksgiving. Even throughout the periods of Lent, it's still a celebration. You know, we continue to sing throughout the liturgy all the time.
Yeah. Not Alleluia, but...
Right, but there are still songs. In fact, some of the most beautiful music, the most beautiful hymns are in the period of Lent. You hear people who say Lent is their favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Okay. And then finally, it's useless. The Mass is useless. And it's like, it bothers me to hear that. But think about it from a secular standpoint. What are you doing there? You know, in fact, is there an end? Do you accomplish something by going to Mass? No. In fact, we actually take it as an act of faith. You know, like we might say, oh, well, if the Mass is so useful, why is the world still so messed up? You know, but it is. I mean, we know that I'm not trying to discredit the Mass. I'm saying that, you know, it doesn't serve an ultimate purpose. You know, you don't like fix something by going to Mass. You cannot reduce the Mass to its utilitarian ends. Okay, you can't say no. This is what I am going to achieve by going to Mass. I'm going to go and this problem is going to be solved because I went to Mass today. And we can go and pray for these things, you know,
and receive graces.
And we receive graces. We know this, but it's not like, oh, this is the solution to a problem I have. That's not why we go to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
So if we try to reduce it to the Mass to like a lecture or a concert or a pep rally, which has happened. I mean, I don't know that I've ever been to a Mass, but was that extreme. But there have absolutely been Masses where all three of those examples happened. Mm-hmm. And it's terrible. You know, that's not what the liturgy is.
Right. And, you know, even in the Mass, it says, you know, God says over and over again in the Bible, in the readings that we hear, and in the songs that we sing, you know, I will give you rest.
Right.
You know, and I will lay, you know, bear you on eagle's wings. I will give you rest.
Yeah, eternal rest in heaven. I mean, that's what it's all about. So. Anyway.
Good job, man. I think you did a good job. And I just want to give a shout out again to our listeners, our supporters, friends of the show, guys who have given us feedback. We appreciate it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.